The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Five burning questions, bottom of the hour. Will, happy birthday. All 35 candles on the cake to the great Candace Parker. Candace Parker, college basketball legend. She is turning into the WNBA legend that she is. Broadcasting extraordinaire. I'll admit it right now. I thoroughly enjoy the back and forth between Shaq and Charles Barkley. I think that's the entertainment that Kenny and a lot of the people over at NBA on TNT, Ernie Johnson, it's fantastic stuff. But, Will, the way Candace dishes it out to Shaq when they're on camera together, that's the kind of entertainment I'm here for. And the different Twitter accounts I follow who grab those video clips and post them up on the timeline, huge fan of those. They get a like and a favorite out of me each and every time. So happy 35 to Candace Parker, one of the best to do it here on the Hill.
Yeah, look, I like Shaq. Shaq is at this point in his career, just showing up being Shaq and not doing a lot of show prep, right? And so says words. And so that's so when he says something dumb, Candace is very quick to call him out on that. It's fantastic television, quite frankly. For me, the big question that I had when I saw it's going to be Candace's 35th birthday, is she the best athlete at the University of Tennessee this century? 21 years, whoever looked her up right now, or 20 years and 3 months, however you want to look at it. But is she the best, regardless of sport, at the University of Tennessee? My answer to that is yes. I think that she is. I think that when you look at all the titles she won in college, WNBA MVP, won the WNBA, last year was the WNBA Defensive Player of the Year. She's done about everything you possibly can do, and she's worked as a broadcaster very, very well while she's still playing at an elite level last year. So for me, I think Candace is number one with a bullet. It is Candace Parker.
I can't have a conversation. I can't even even form a discussion against that because it's flat out true. My question, though, immediately is who else falls in place then after Parker? Because I think for a lot of football fans, they're going to bring Jason Witten into the conversation. They'll bring Eric Berry into the conversation. But based on the careers post-college football here in Knoxville, I think that's where she kind of starts gaining a little ground and separating herself from the rest of the field. I would put Witten ahead of Eric Berry in that two spot. The question is from there, Dee Dee Trotter, where do you put her? Where do you put Monica Abbott if she's even part of this conversation? I think you can form a committee of three to four strong, Will, but I don't know if anybody even comes close to catching Candace Parker, at least this century. Since 2000, we're talking 21 years, it's Candace Parker, and it's Candace Parker probably by a small, medium-sized margin.
For me, I think there were four that I thought of. You brought up last hour a fifth one that I thought was very interesting, and that's Monica Abbott. But the four I thought of were Candace, Witten, Eric Berry, Dee Dee Trotter. Dee Dee Trotter was in three different Olympics, won gold and two, won bronze and another one. But those are the ones that I go with.
I'm trying to think because I think you brought up the point about the professional career. That makes it difficult to even have this conversation with Monica Abbott. I looked at just her dominance based on ERA, strikeout to walk ratio, shutouts, the things she was doing here in Knoxville. But because of the pro career, that's what makes it difficult to even put her in this conversation. And I think that, man, now that I've given it a little bit more thought, look, we're talking about, I feel like sometimes people get upset because it's like, well, there should be a participation trophy, or you at least have to give them a mention in this conversation. You don't have to give anybody anything. 21 years since 2000, if you're talking about just the best when it comes to athletes here at the University of Tennessee, the four you mentioned, I think not once would you even put Monica Abbott ahead of any of those. So I think Monica Abbott needs to kind of, be cut off this conversation. She can certainly be an honorable mention, but I don't believe she should even be part of the conversation because of just where the pro career was and just some of those other sports. It came with all pro appearances. It came with gold medals. It's come with championships in their respective major professional sports.
It's not her fault that there's not – We haven't had a dyed-in-the-wool women's softball league, and the U.S. didn't win gold during her time, right? So a three-time world champion, but they were Olympic silver medalists in the Beijing Games. Softball just hasn't taken off around the world or even professionally the way that it has in college and the way that it has you know, in the SEC, quite frankly. So it's not a, you know, no knock on Monica there that she did something wrong in her pro career. There's just not the same type of pro career that you can have in softball that you can have in track and field and you can have in any NFL and you can have in the WNBA.
I think Trotter's gold medals also puts her ahead of the conversation of Jason Witten or Eric Berry. Berry cannot fight the fact that he had lymphoma, you know, and his career was cut short with a lot of the heel and the kind of leg injuries he dealt with. And for Jason, his longevity stands out, especially playing for the most popular franchise in the NFL for X amount of years. But I think not getting that Super Bowl or earning a couple of more All-Pros, I think that also hurt him as well, even though at a time he was arguably the most dominant person at his position at tight end. So I think if you put it in that order, I think the conversation then comes down to where you put Witten and Berry. But Candace Parker is number one, and it's not even close when you look at the last 21 years since the start of 2000, as we recognize her here on her 35th birthday. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Are we forgetting somebody? We're talking about the window of the last 21 years. Most dominant athlete to leave Knoxville since the turn of the century in 2000. Happy 35th birthday to the woman we have ranked number one. It's Candace Parker, celebrating number 35 today. Happy birthday to her. Eric Kane, our next Tennessee Lottery sports update here on a Monday morning. We have it for you now at TSL.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery sports minute.
Tennessee baseball team dropped its first series of the season Sunday in the rubber match against number 2 Vanderbilt, 10-4. With the loss, the Vols still an impressive 29-8 on the year. We'll try to get back on track Tuesday against Tennessee Tech at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Lady Vols softball bounced back to an 11-0 shutout victory over South Carolina on the road Sunday evening to even the series at one game apiece. Game 3 of the series will be this evening, 7 o'clock, and you can hear that game right here on the Sports Animal. Alex Bowman took the lead with 10 laps remaining. Held on for the NASCAR Cup Series victory at Richmond Sunday afternoon.
Final corner of 400 laps. Alex Bowman steals one in Richmond. Wow.
Third career victory for Bowman. Denny Hamlin took on the silver. Joey Logano the bronze. Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr. rounded out the top five. Stewart Clark shot a 1-under-70 par in round 4 to cruise to the 4-stroke win at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head. 19-under on the weekend. And Atlanta Braves got back in the win column Sunday night over the Cubs, 13-4. Hit 4 home runs in the first inning and missed grand slam later in the game.
Heredia with a drive to left field. Carrying, and that one is gone! A grand slam for Guillermo Heredia!
Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash, your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Sure.
They both tried Jimmy Hines gumbo, and honestly, it was pretty good.
Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
A potential major bombshell was dropped over the weekend, and it's funny because when you read that article about what could potentially happen with a Super League across the pond, and then Stuart Mandel's report that came out about the potential or the idea of it happening with college football, that's where intrigue and at least a lot of ears start perking up about separating the best and the best in the elite of all of college football, man.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, so here's what they've done in European soccer. They did this thing where you play your country's league at the top level, and then the best teams go on to this thing called the Champions League, and they play in the midweek, and then you play your league on the weekends. And so you get like 2 games a week and most weeks during the season. And it goes on to say who's the best in the continent in all of Europe, right? Well, these 12 teams who are really the richest 12 teams want to start their own Super League because they can make a ton of money off television revenue. Also, they don't have to earn their way into this. They're just automatically into it because they're rich. So there's an uproar in Europe right now. I don't think it eventually goes through, even though there's so much money that's on the table. They'll just get crushed. And I think that there's no way out of getting crushed on this one. But Stuart Mandel brought up the idea and said, I could absolutely see this happening in college football in the coming years. And so it made me ask the question, if we're looking at a Super League, one, do you think a Super League is going to happen in college football where it's 12 or 16 teams that break off and do their own thing, almost like a very small version of the NFL? Two, if there is a Super League that breaks off, is Tennessee in that Super League?
Unfortunately, I think the answer to both of those questions are no, as much as I want to have it happen. I think
so you,
being able
so
to
you
watch
want
the
it
best
to happen.
Of the best.
You want to see it happen. You want to see 12 or 16 teams break off.
Why not? Why not see the best teams that are the best in the entire sport of college football that we love so much continue to shine and get that platform, you know, week in and week out? You know, I immediately questioned the rules of relegation on who would be allowed out, who would be allowed in. And then that conversation carries over to, would Tennessee immediately be one of those 16 teams that would get the initial bursts or the initial automatic qualifications? And the answer there is no. Tennessee right now is not among the 16 best. If we made the number 16, like you said, if the parameters started with 16, Tennessee is not among the 16 best teams right now. I mean, they're probably not even, I mean, they're not Bama, they're not LSU, they're not Florida, Georgia in the SEC alone. They're not FSU, Clemson in the ACC, that's six. I mean, we can keep going down the list. Will, when by the time you get to the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 and Pac-12, excuse me, yeah, Tennessee, I don't even know if Tennessee would even be next on the SEC list, because you're not ignoring Auburn or A&M, are you, right? And then you got to start having that conversation. Who else comes into the conversation? I think right now Tennessee might be seventh, maybe eighth on the SEC pecking order on who you invite into this kind of super league in comparisons to what they're doing over in European soccer.
And that would still mean you're getting three times the number of SEC teams as any other conference, which I don't think it's unfair, right? You're outside of the Big Ten. I guess the Big Ten would get three teams in. I think another team that we're not thinking about that we didn't mention, like so the 16 teams that I wrote down when looking at this, Notre Dame's in. If I'm starting with the Big 12, Oklahoma and Texas are in. I don't think anyone else gets in. In the Pac-12, Washington and USC. One reason I have Washington there, they've been to a playoff. They have a national championship. It's also the Seattle television market, and you want to make sure you get the Seattle television market. USC, you're going to have them in. So that's two of the Pac-12. From the ACC, FSU and Clemson. For the Big Ten, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. And then you get to the SEC teams. The one question that I have is, do you put Wisconsin in there as well? Do you think Wisconsin gets in and we get a fourth Big Ten team in a sixth SEC team? The one thing I keep looking at is Bama's in, Georgia's in, Florida's in, LSU's in. You don't think twice about that. I think they would put A&M in because of television households in Houston and San Antonio. They would put A&M in. Because, again, this would just be about money and literally nothing else.
Exactly.
It makes me wonder, so who's next? Is it Wisconsin? Is it Auburn? You guys mentioned Oregon, that Oregon could be a possibility. I don't think it's a big enough television market that's there.
You don't think Portland? Portland doesn't grab you more than Milwaukee does?
I don't. Also, just a matter of who's watching, right? Like, you just don't see Oregon games with a lot of television eyeballs on television. Maybe because of Nike they get in and because it's money, period.
That's what I was thinking of, just money, period.
Then it is just, you're right, maybe you put them in for because of Nike. So do you leave Auburn out and put in Oregon? Do you put in Tennessee? Do you put in Nebraska? Do you put in Wisconsin? Because I think A&M would be a lock, but you're right. I mean, Oregon maybe end up being a mortal lock just because of Phil Knight and Nike, and so they would get in, period, and then everybody else would just be left out. And that would mean Tennessee, even though both Knoxville and Nashville are usually top 10, at worst top 15 in sports ratings for anything you put on television, right. The last 3 years it's not been – 2 years and then this season, it'll be the same way. It's not been that for the NBA. Since the new Freedom of Movement rules went in there, the first year of the new Freedom of Movement rules – ratings dropped 75% in Knoxville for the NBA Finals. But everything else, Knoxville's in the top 10 when it comes to viewership on anything in sports, so was Nashville. Do you think that's enough to get Tennessee in? Because it is going to be about television eyeballs more than anything else.
So I asked you immediately, again, doing the digging on this European Soccer League, if we're trying to pull the rules of the comparison of Shell to America, is there a regulation rule? Can they be relegated? Is there something where they move teams in and out for one reason or the other? Or what unique rule would you place on this for membership in and out of this potential league?
Well, the point of this is there's not relegation. That's what they
okay,
want.
So these
they,
are just
they
the have, six. Yeah,
they want to have those 12 teams. We're rich. To heck with you. We're rich. We're popular.
Right.
We bring eyeballs. To heck with the rest of you. A lot of it is Man United is not in the Champions League. Tottenham's not in the Champions League. Arsenal's not in the Champions League. So they're not getting that revenue. You know what I mean? That the rest of those teams are getting right now. And so they want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. They don't want Leicester City to go take their or West Ham to go take the revenue when they're the ones that are bringing eyeballs to this. If you can get there just based on name value alone versus having to earn it. So I don't think in this college football world that they would break off. I will say this. I don't think we see this happen. I think it's far more likely we see power conferences break off and Notre Dame joins them.
Yes. That's why I'm absolutely just – I was floored to see the reports of Boise State trying to get to the ACC once Notre Dame went back to their independence at the end of this season. Based on name recognition alone, and that was the comment, that was the little mark you just made just there that I think makes gives Tennessee the best argument. On name recognition alone, then Tennessee has a part in this conversation. When it comes to actually winning football games, when it comes to time to anything else that is about where they are competition level with some of those best teams. Now, granted, you just made a comment about Penn State. Penn State had a down year this year. You know, you made a comment about Washington, not to the level of what Washington usually does in the Pac-12, and their conference got off to a late start. Texas just replaced a new coach. So perhaps it'd be competition level. It doesn't matter when it comes to trying to find the most lucrative programs in all the country to put together for this college football Super League. But just on name recognition alone, then, yeah, Tennessee has a fight to be able to get into this league. You know, if we put it to the Stuart Mandel story, this hypothetical league, then, yeah, that alone. But when you talk about competition on top of markets, when you talk about viewing markets and everything else, Will, then I think we need to put Oregon in this list. And there's a few more, I think, that fall in line ahead of Tennessee as well. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Fire-burning questions on the other side. Also, top of the hour during the game, are you looking to pick up some new Tennessee gear? Because our friends over at Hound Dog's giving you that opportunity. 8 o'clock, the game, your chance in the next 35-plus minutes on the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Halfway home for your Monday morning. Rain early, but sunshine set to peek through the clouds about mid-afternoon today. So be sure you dress accordingly. Tyler Ivins and Will West, good morning to you here on the starting lineup. Starting a fresh new week with a Monday, and how about we find out who day one's winner is? You know how things get between Will and I, especially in the 7:30 portion. It's now time for five burning questions on the starting lineup.
All right, guys, if you were Brad Stevens, would you have left the Celtics for $10 million per year deal if Indiana offered him?
Will, come on, 10 over 7? Not only do you reset your clock, but you go back to a state you're very familiar with. It's an opportunity for you to start recruiting again, and you can be the person who resurrects the Indiana program and gets them back on the national powerhouse. And, hey, remember our conversation last week, back to the blue blood level. Without question, I wouldn't have thought twice. I get the NBA life, but college basketball at $10 million a year is pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, I would have done that in a heartbeat with him. And maybe he doesn't want to recruit, but he can go back to running the set plays that he likes to run. If you remember at Butler, they ran 84 different set plays that they had in the arsenal at any point in time. You can't do that in the
Goodness.
NBA right now. These guys can't run those sets. So if I were him, tripling his salary for what he's making with the Celtics right now, I would have done it in a heartbeat. Also, I think he was on the hot seat, and I wouldn't have liked that if I was Brad Stevens, because he's made that team overachieve every year he's been there.
Yesterday was National Columnist Day. Who's the best columnist in sports right now?
All right, so this is a guy that's it's a little more local than anything else as far as another local market. I think it's Jeff Schultz with The Athletic. And he writes just about Atlanta stuff, and I know a lot of people don't care about Atlanta things, but Jeff Schultz is spectacular. I also think that in my lifetime, we've never had a place where columnists are at the place it is right now, where it's 2,500 words about some dude I don't care about.
Yeah.
But Jeff Schultz, it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's digestible. I think Jeff Schultz is the best columnist in sports.
You know, for me, I understand why people don't like him, because he has come after the fan base here locally at the University of Tennessee, and some people, any negative against Tennessee, automatically cross him off the list. I'm still a Pat Forty guy. I'm a big fan of what he does, his work day in and day out, month in and month. It doesn't matter where he's leaving, who he's with, what publication. I follow Pat Forty. I'm a big Pat Forty fan, and even if he wrote negative remarks about my favorite teams day in and day out, it would be a different side of the argument or conversation that I would at least enjoy reading.
Today is National Hanging Out Day. Which current athlete would you most like to hang out with?
Oh, this is super easy for me. And maybe I'm biased because of my fandom here, but it was Marcus Stroman for the New York Mets right now. This guy's kind of positive energy. The way that he is on the mound, he lets kind of his actions take over. He's very infectious. Even follow along with him on Instagram and social media. I love positivity, and I'm here for all the positive vibes a man can send out, and that's what Marcus Stroman's doing right now.
Okay, I've got two guys. I'll start with one. It's the GOAT. It's Brady. The reason why, family man, we're the same age, but there's something about like being around Halloran Hill that made me realize – I don't know if they ever learned it, that your friends and the people you hang out with are supposed to make you better. It's the proverb, iron sharpens iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady, just finding out what his process is like and his thought process is like and his mentality's like, I would love to just sit and pick that guy's brain for a little while. The other's Yasiel Puig, because I think he's an absolute lunatic, and I just want to hear the things that come out of his mouth. And I've got enough Spanish from college that I feel like we could work that out between his.
Do you
English
enjoy
and
playing
Spanish.
With toys as a grown adult? Because that's what Yasiel Puig's going to do.
Will we ever see pro sports teams in American League in an American League split off to form their own Super League?
I don't think so. If we did, it would be the NFL, and it would be Jerry Jones leading the charge on that. But I think that the NFL, it's socialism that makes the NFL better. It's the fact that people will watch the Browns play the Bengals on Thursday night. You'll still have 12 million people watching it. So the NFL is the only place that could afford to do it. The rest of those teams would just fall apart if they tried to leave the other leagues. But I don't think we ever see this because they're just going to make so much money.
The concept is so intriguing that I just want to see it happen. Doesn't matter if it succeeds or it fails. I just want to see this intrigue and somebody take a chance on it. I don't believe that it does ever happen. In this conversation about what ends up happening of a change of a major sport, you see college football break off from the NCAA and have the Power 5 conferences go alone. We've had this conversation, and perhaps seeing it happen in the next 12, 24 months is more than a likelihood than a 12-team kind of super league like the bombshell dropped over the weekend in European soccer.
And it was on this day all the way back in 2020 that The Last Dance debuted. Was Michael Jordan's story the best sports documentary of all time?
For me, it was. Look, you have to be able to keep me in after one episode, all right? If you don't get me and if you don't latch me in after one, you're not getting me for the next seven. Will, it was must-see television. Other people who enjoy programs, they DVR it and they come back to it. Not me. I watched it live. All four weekends, back-to-back, double episodes. I was here for every second of it.
No, it's Ken Burns Baseball. And frankly, Ken Burns Baseball is the best documentary that's ever been done, in my opinion. It's absolutely positively incredible. If you've never watched it, it's hard to get like 18 hours and keep it compelling. They do the entire time. The storytelling's just spectacular. Ken Burns Baseball is the GOAT. And I don't just mean in sports documentaries, but in all documentaries.
It's kind of hard to go up against my favorite Bible verse. Proverbs 27:17, so Will gets the win.
There you go.
The reason why I shine so much light on The Last Dance is because I did not grow up a Bulls fan. Frankly, I didn't grow up a Michael Jordan fan because of what he was doing, keeping some of my favorite teams and favorite players out of the spotlight themselves. But going back and watching what he was able to do, going back and seeing kind of an inside the guts look of what was that kind of stretch run, and seeing the characters that kind of played along, the Pippen story, the Robin, Kerr, everything he was dealing with, that made me turn that, you know, kind of that directing over eight shows turned me into a Bulls fan and kind of made me respect a little bit more that my teams that were falling, it was dominance because of what they were doing day in and day out.
Yeah, I mean, so my problem with The Last Dance was that, I don't know, a quarter of it was just BS. Like, it was just crap. Like, it didn't happen. And Michael Jordan's just up there lying, and because it's Michael Jordan's documentary and you don't want him to get mad and walk off the set, nobody can call him out on the fact that he's just up there telling bald-faced lies. So that, to me, is one of the reasons I didn't love it. I didn't love the thing about, you know, that he tried to create the Isaiah Jordan, that's the reason that he didn't get into the – wasn't on the Dream Team, when everybody knows why that was around at that time – knows that it was Magic Johnson that kept him off because Isaiah said some terrible, terrible things when he came down with HIV. And that's what kept Isaiah off. And so I didn't love that they did that, that some of it wasn't true at all, and that they created – like with Jordan, you didn't have to create drama that wasn't there.
Right.
They had legitimate beef probably because – literally, the Pistons' game plan was to punch that guy in his face. You know what I mean? Like, so you could have talked about that instead of trying to create this thing with the Dream Team that didn't happen. So that's one of the things I kind of held against The Last Dance a little bit. Also, it's still great. It's still probably number two. But if you've never seen Ken Burns Baseball, take the time to sit down and watch Ken Burns Baseball.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900 on the Stanley Vincent Gates hotline. Hour three of the program, start, bench, cut. And also, what a weekend it was. Tennessee baseball. Yeah, they lost the series to Vanderbilt. Still a lot of big SEC challenges still to come. But officially, Tony Vitello with that series. And maybe for a lot of you believe even before this series, but national attention was paid to what was happening, at least on the baseball conversation this weekend in Knoxville. Tennessee baseball might officially be back after this series against Vanderbilt. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Well, Wes, this is...
I'm going to cut you off if you can, because there is a You mentioned something I think is incredibly compelling three different times during the show today. And I want to pick your brain on this if you don't care.
Lay it on.
We're talking about the Super League in soccer, and I know it's not the biggest thing for everybody out there, so I'm not trying to get into it. Let's talk about Super League soccer. But what it is the biggest teams, the most popular teams, the most wealthy teams, 12 of them are splintering off to try to, or trying to splinter off and form their own league, and what they got is JP Morgan to be able to back them, and they got a huge financial backing to do their own league away from what everybody else is doing, that they don't have to earn a place in. They're just there, and they play just the top teams.
Right.
You've said three different times, whether it's about college football, whether it's about pro leagues, you want to see a Super League happen. You'd like to see, in both college football and in professional sports, you'd like to see teams splinter off into a Super League.
Why do I have to wait until January to see the best teams in the sport play? Why do I have to wait for Bama Clemson until the college football playoff in the semifinals or the finals? I understand because, well, we want to build up the drama to get to this, you know, ultimately what it's going to be year in and year out. No, that's what makes this. That's why I wanted to get into soccer so much, because when you break it down how they do it from the UEFA Champions League into, like, you know, dominating their own league and then dominating the teams in their own continent, to me, it's kind of like that world domination. I can prove to you, outside of every 4 years winning an Olympic gold medal or outside of winning the gold World Cup, that I am the best of this sport. You know, if you're telling me we can get it multiple times over a scheduled calendar year compared to having to wait for one game to match up against these two, I mean, remind me real quick, when they play in the, it's the UEFA's Champions League, correct?
Yeah, the Champions League. What it is like the top four in the English Premier League, the top four in the Spanish League. They all come together and play a tournament throughout the year in the middle of the week, and they play.
They play multiple times? Yeah, like how's the scheduling go in there? You mentioned round-robin technique.
Yeah, they have what you call, first you start out with like a group stage, so it's like four teams, and then they play and move on to the knockout stages. And then from there you go into what they call semifinals, where it has legs, where you play two games.
Exactly.
And then you put the together score, and then you get to the finals where you play one game. But you would like to see – give me the sport you'd like to see it in the most thing. Because you mentioned college football, you mentioned the NFL, you mentioned Major League Baseball. Give me the sport you would most like to see splinter off.
It's definitely college football. Because, look, you're already getting a lot of the – you're already getting Saints-Buccaneers twice, and if you're lucky, three times a year if they meet in the playoffs. That's a great rivalry. Those two were the best-led teams last year for that respective side. You know, you're already getting, when those teams are competitive at their best, Seattle, San Francisco, Green Bay, Chicago multiple times. But if you're telling me that you put kind of those rules, those standings, and that schedule formula into college football – there's a chance that you get Bama Clemson. There's a chance then you get Wisconsin, Oregon, Iowa State taking on Miami, not only early in this round robin process, but then you could see them again in the tournament and then in different legs. All we, you know, as much as we love college football and we love college sports, if there's a way that we can cut out the Mercers of the world, the Samfords of the world, but we get the best competition week in and week out, absolutely. So if we do have to find a way to drop this slab of meat and get the best cuts of it to serve it up, I want the best servings of this meat cut up and given to me every Saturday. What you're talking about is fantastic, Will, and I want more of that for college football.
What about you, Kaner? Do you want to see this happen in either college football? And I don't think they would play it like a European tournament's done. I think they would just round robin, you play 11 games, you go to the playoff, 12 games, you get the playoff, something like that.
But you get to see those big matchups multiple times.
Absolutely, you do. Absolutely. You might get Alabama Clemson twice in a year.
Bingo. I want that.
So what about you, Kaner? Do you want to see it in any professional sports league in the U.S. or college football?
You know, really, I'd probably say no. I'd go against you guys because, especially in college, you know, college athletics, you get so much turnover. Yes, I know Alabama's good every year. I know Clemson's good every year. I know Ohio State's good every year. Because we talk about how the lack of parity in college football is right now in terms of, you know, why do you want more playoffs whenever that fourth, you know, team in the playoff gets just destroyed every single year? And so, you know, point being, there are some good teams that bounce in there every single year and then they bounce right back out. And so, you know, I don't want to miss out on, you know, one of those good teams, one of those good stories getting a chance to go to the college football playoff simply because, you know, these guys, these 16 teams or whatever would branch off and, you know, kind of play their own thing. And so, for me, I would say I wouldn't want to see that. Same with professional sports as well. Yes, the Chiefs are fantastic. Yes, whatever team Tom Brady's on is going to be there every single year too. But, I mean, every team in the NFL can beat any team in the NFL typically. I mean, they're all professionals for a reason. And so I would not want to see missed opportunities for some of those teams to make storylines and headlines and all that in a given year. So I would say no right now to be kind of against you guys.
So I agree with you, though, Cater. I don't want to see it either. Now, what I do want to see is more – I would like to see them cut back on non-conference games. If you look at 2027, it looks like strength of schedule is going to be a huge part. Georgia's AD has already said that. They're playing three tough non-conference opponents, right? And they haven't scheduled a fourth, which makes you think, like, I'd like to see them go to nine SEC games, three tough non-conference opponents. Let's go. Let's play this thing out. Let's play 12, and then let's do the playoff from there.
Right.
I would rather see that than split her off into a super league. When I look at the professional sports leagues, the NBA can't afford to do it. They need every team and every franchise. The NBA and baseball and NHL can't do it because they need those regional sports networks. That's where they make their money. It's not backsides and seats, and it's not on the national sports deals. The NFL could, but think about the teams that would come on an NFL Super League. Dallas is coming, and they suck. The Giants and Jets are coming, and they suck. But you're not leaving those teams out because those with eyeballs. Philadelphia Eagles are coming, and they suck. Washington's coming, they suck. So, you know, the NFC East and the Jets are five of your teams that are in there already. Then you take the two L.A. teams because they want that market. That's seven. Who are the other teams that would be of the Steelers, the Broncos, the Patriots? They would be there. I would rather see what we have right now in the National Football League than see them splinter off. So I don't necessarily – I love the upsets in college football, and I want to see those. But so I don't want to see it happen in college football, but I would like to see them stop scheduling three cupcakes a year because that's just worthless. It's just stealing money from your fan base. I would like to see them be better with scheduling than splinter off, but I don't think it works for any pro sports league in the U.S. outside of the National Football League financially, and it would not be the teams that most people want to see that would be involved in that Super League financially.
That's Will West. Tyler Ivins, do you want to play the game? You know how we kick off hour number three of the program each and every morning here on the starting lineup. Hound Dogs wants to gift you $25 to update that wardrobe. And it happens next on 99.1, the Sports Animal.